This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by The Legacy Journey, a biblically based class that will give you a plan for building wealth and leaving a legacy. If you're out of debt and asking, now what? Go to stewardship.com to get your questions answered. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. So honored that you are tuning in today. Of course, you can call in at any time at 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. I want to thank you all for listening in. I am your host, Chris Brown, and of course, if you miss anything on this particular episode, remember you can always subscribe on the podcast on iTunes, or you can visit us at stewardship.com. As I think through the guests that we have today, I think of Mark 12:31. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Folks, we're talking all about love today. And we're talking about, you know, as we think about stewarding this life, it's amazing. One of the things that keeps us from loving well is we're distracted a lot of times by finances that are not in order. And so we got to make sure that we, you know, not only be intentioned to love, but also be positioned to love well. So if you're looking for a plan to get out of debt, even when you're busy, you can experience the same life-changing material of Financial Peace University online. So make sure you go to stewardship.com to learn much more about that. And I'm so excited about today because today we have a special guest, and his name is Bob Goff. Many of you know who he is, but Bob, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for letting me be part of it.
Yeah, we're super pumped. I don't know if you guys know who Bob Goff is. Some of you might not, but he's a highly sought after speaker, and recently he spoke at our devotionals here at Ramsey Solutions. We have those on every Wednesday morning, and he just really, really encouraged us. He also is the author of the New York Times best-selling book, Love Does, and he's the founder of the same-named Love Does, formerly Restore International, a nonprofit human rights organization. And as an attorney, he shares leadership in a Washington law firm. And he also serves as an honorary counsel for the Republic of Uganda to the United States. And an adjunct professor at Pepperdine Law School and Point Loma Nazarene University. And Bob, you're stinking busy.
We were laughing together, just like, something about activity. We got a period of time here on Earth. I don't know how much time I have, a little bit less than you, I think. I just want to spend it busy. But a lot of running around, but I get home at night.
Yeah.
So I'm headed home. We're going to run back and have supper with Sweet Maria, and we don't miss many.
That is so cool. You know, of course, the name of the show is True Stewardship, and we're talking about how to make sure that we manage this life for God's glory and manage it His ways, and you're obviously modeling that for us. Your book, Love Does, it chronicles a pretty amazing, bold life of adventure all over the world, really. But, you know, 20-plus years ago, your life wasn't like that. And tell us, you know, what shifted?
You know, one of the things that I figured out along the way is who I am. And I'm not my parents. I'm not my biggest failure. I'm not my biggest success. I'm just Bob.
Yeah. Bob and Chris. You didn't get more plain than that.
Yeah. So I think part of that is, and the thing that I'm learning is that if we get this thing right, we're constantly changing. Like this idea of being a new creation. So old Bob's on the bus. So who's the next humblest version of me? And I spend a lot of time thinking about it. I'm 57 right now, so I think of myself as guy 5, right? And I spend a lot of time talking to guy 6. Mm. And you know who guy 6 is? A grandpa.
Yeah.
If somebody will get busy and make some kids. So
they're behind the eight ball.
I want to make hoodies, like make people. But there's something beautiful about informing who you are right now by who you're becoming. And so, because I know I'm going to be a grandpa, I'm going to be at home with them. You'll never see me again. As soon as somebody says, I'm having a kid. I'm yeah, that's it. It's going to be awesome. They'll be like, where'd Bob go? And you know where I'm going to be? I'm going to be at home, because this idea of stewarding your time in ways and things that last, setting aside some things. And one of the things that I've set aside is when I have grandkids, and this isn't for somebody else, just for me, I'm just going to be available to them.
Yeah, that's good. You said in your book, you said, don't be afraid of failing at things that matter. Be afraid of succeeding at things that don't. And that's something that I've actually retweeted several times because it's just resonated with me. Tell me where that came from.
Yeah, I think it's because I was a trial lawyer and I succeeded a bunch of stuff that didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm like, I won. Yeah. And that lasts for, I don't know, a minute, you know, and then you move on to the next thing. So I actually teach a class at these universities on failure. Isn't that awesome? There's not a lot of universities. I tell you, there's like no law schools that have a class on failure. Mm-hmm. But this is just about how to fail.
Yeah.
And every week I just bring in all my friends that have screwed up. It's actually a requirement to be my friend.
You also have something that you say about you quit something every Thursday. I think that's pretty unique. Tell us a little bit about that.
Isn't that? Do you ever feel like you're I feel like a scene out of Hoarders every once in a while. You get so much stuff accumulated in your life. And even sometimes some relationships have been a little rocky and you carry that around. And I just like that idea. Every Thursday, I just pick one thing, and it could be a board of directors. It could be something I've been holding in my heart against somebody. And I just say, it's out. I don't try to figure out why. It's just out. That was before. This is now. And it's all part of this new creation thing. I want to become the next humblest version of me. So how do I get there? One way is to spend some time with like the next. If you're in your 30s, you're like person number three, talk to person number four. But don't forget that 8-year-old version of you, the one that the childlike, that's Matthew 18:2, this idea of a childlike faith. And I think what we do is take who we are right now, who we're becoming, and then that kid, the one that said, we could do this thing. And I think all three of us make a well-adjusted person.
Yeah.
You know, we just move through life and set the right things aside. I have a place up in Canada. And it's like many, many acres at this inlet, and just a beautiful place. And the first thing I did with that, and it was part of stewardship for my family, is I deed restricted thousands and thousands of acres. I said, nobody for the history of Earth can cut these trees down.
Wow.
Like as soon as you deed restrict it, nobody can ever cut it down. What if you picked a couple things in your life that are worth losing, like one every Thursday, but pick a couple things that are worth keeping and set those aside. It's like deed restricting them, saying like nobody's, that is one thing. Start with your family. Say nobody's getting in the way of that. Mm-mm.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be terrific? Maybe to write your resignation letter, address it, stamp it, and give it to your spouse and say, if this job ever gets in my way, just mail that puppy in.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be great? Giving each other your proxy, that's a great way to steward your career.
Yeah.
To say there's some things are set aside, and you know what? This relationship is. You can even do it within your friendship and say, like, there's, we are in this together. I've already picked my side. Doesn't mean I'm going to be, like, picking on other people for you, but I'm just telling you, I'm not going to give you a bunch of words of correction. I'm just with you.
Yeah.
You'll know. What we started doing around our house is stop saying obvious things. I added 30 years to my life because we just don't say the stuff that's obvious.
Yeah.
It's just been really great. So I run it through a little sieve. I go like, is that like totally obvious when somebody like wrecks your car to say, be more careful next time? Don't say a word.
Wow.
Don't like give them the hairy eyeball. Just be like, all right.
That's so good. We're having a conversation with Bob Goff here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
So you've been using Financial Peace University. You're on the plan, out of debt, and working the rest of the baby steps. But now you're hit with a whole new set of questions. Things you weren't even thinking about while paying off debt. Well, that's why we created the Legacy Journey DVD Home Study. These biblically based lessons will teach you about building wealth and leaving a legacy. They will give you a plan for the next steps in your financial journey. If you want to know more, head to stewardship.com and get your questions answered today.
Well, folks, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and today our guest is Bob Goff, New York Times bestselling author. I wonder how, you know, thinking about stewarding our relationships, how much more life-giving our relationships would be if we'd actually do that filter. But it takes some thought. It takes some intentionality.
Yeah.
And it's something that we all don't do enough.
You know, one thing when you mentioned stewarding our words and our relationships, I started, I bet a year and a half ago, when I say a sharp or critical word to somebody, I've got this little app on my iPhone. I give away $500 per word.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know what I do now? When somebody says something kind of janky to me and I'm ready to, I'm a lawyer. I mean, like, yeah. I got a quick tongue. But when I'm about to say something, I just think, I only am going to say what I can afford.
That's hilarious. Folks, I'm thinking about instigating them a little bit here because I'm thinking about getting, I want to get paid.
You could get some cash out of this deal. Just bait me. But you won't see me swinging for every pitch, even on social media and all that. Somebody will say something kind of wonky. I'm like, I'd rather go to Maui. Literally.
That's so good.
I'm not going to say something. And what I've learned in practicing law, and it would work out pretty good in stewarding our families, is to figure out which arguments to lose. And the fact is, it's most of them.
Wow.
Instead of being like the sheriff and trying to be right, I'm trying to be humble. Because you can be correct and not right. You know what I mean?
That's so good.
And you'd be like, oh, I just don't want to be that guy. I just want to be the person with other people that is like kind of like Switzerland. I actually spoke at a thing that was kind of angsty and people are sending all these like mean tweets to each other. And I was like, I literally tried to cancel out of it three times. I'm like, dude, I'm not your guy. I'm the balloon.
A drama filled environment.
What makes for a great daytime TV doesn't make for a great life.
Yeah.
So they said I couldn't. So I went there. I had a shirt made. It's red. It has a white cross on it. I brought a bar of chocolate and a bobsled. I'm like, I'm Switzerland. I'm like, everybody, take a breath. We'll hand out paper bags. You can breathe into them. But just like, I'm just not that guy.
That is so good. Folks, I don't know if you, I mean, this is a huge takeaway here. A lot of us are living our lives filled with unnecessary drama. You know, the Bible is a very drama-free life, but it's not by accident. It's a choice. It's a choice to be not saying some things that aren't needed. It's saying some things that are needed, and it's making some very intentional efforts. I mean, he had to go and make that t-shirt and bring the bar of chocolate. There's an intentionality of not bringing drama into your life, and there's a lack of intentionality when we do bring drama into our lives. So, now you wrote Love Does, and it's an autobiography, but much deeper, you weave the stories of your life and the adventures to give us a glimpse of the life that we could be living. Among the many quotes in the book, I wanted to quote a few of the most important lessons. And if you can, I want you to tell me the inspiration behind them. One of them is sharing your life with the right people is really important. And of course, you've obviously mentioned Miss Sweet Marie several times. Tell us a little bit about that quote.
Oh, she's terrific. Yeah, I got dibs on her, 29 years ago. And what I've learning is that while she and I are very different, that I'm not trying to be like her and she's not trying to be like me, but we're trying to be like Jesus. And to say, how do you pull that off? And the way you do it is humbly. Like, get out your red shirt, white cross, bar of chocolate, give it to your spouse. Yeah. Like, literally, be Switzerland. We just don't, everything doesn't need to be Gettysburg. Like, you just be like, hey, let's just, well, one of the things we do, is play catch. Mm-hmm. We just, and with the funny part, none of us like baseball, but we just play catch because we're like actually with each other. And we talk about the things that matter the most to us. So we've been very intentional in stewarding that part of our relationship.
Yeah.
One thing we do is I get home. Like, literally, I'll leave here, I'll be home for supper.
Yeah.
Most of the time, Marie doesn't even know where I am. Like, literally, she drops me off at the airport in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And I go somewhere, and when people ask her, where's Bob, you know what she says? He's on his way home.
Oh, wow.
Like, right?
Yeah.
And I told her, like, you got the letter. If I'm ever not on my way home, if you feel like I'm, like, distracted by this other stuff, just mail it to me.
Yeah.
And it says, you quit.
That's intense. Well, folks, we're talking with New York Times bestselling author Bob Goff today about the importance of loving well. Loving like Jesus as we steward this life. And all this talk about love, hey, makes me want to show some love to you out there, our true stewardship listener. Did you know that in this month of May, we're giving away $20,000? Whether you're trying to save your first $1,000 emergency fund or you just want to take a really awesome vacation. It's always nice to have some extra cash on hand, right? Well, to help you do that, we're giving away $5,000 to one person every week this month. You can enter once every day, so go to stewardship.com. There's a link there, and all you got to do is enter. It's called the $20,000 Rainy Day Giveaway. Again, you can enter to win once a day at stewardship.com. We're having a conversation with New York Times bestselling author Bob Goff. When you think about this whole idea of playing catch, really what it means is being present. I mean, you have to be present to play catch. Otherwise, I think I've heard you say before that, like this, for instance, if you're on your phone, you're going to get hit in the teeth. How important is being present for you? When you're in Uganda, being present. When you're home, being present. When you're in Switzerland, being present. How important is that to you?
Yeah, you know, what we've done to help me get there is not only these little waypoints like playing catch with one another, but the people that help me out, they only tell me what I'm doing today, tomorrow, and the next day. Oh, wow. Isn't that crazy? Like today, tomorrow, and the next day. Uh-huh. After that, literally, you could ask them, phone them up right now. They won't tell you. They won't tell me. And it's been on purpose for the last couple of years because it helps me not be living next week, but just like be right here. All I'm thinking about is I'm right here with you and no one home for supper.
That's so cool. And of course, we've got folks listening in who, you know, just, you know, attend church. We got some that are volunteering in church. We've got people on staff. We've got pastors listening in. You've got one quote in the book that says, "Religion tastes awful, especially when you eat the fake stuff." Explain that for us.
Oh, yeah. I'd gone to the refrigerator to get some cream cheese for this bagel of mine. And it turned out there was a, it was Crisco, that white stuff that looks just like cream cheese. And I put a big old glob on the bagel and spread it around and took a little bite. It just didn't taste good. I thought there wasn't enough cream cheese on it. So I put more on and I ate the whole bagel with that. I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? And it like, then Maria pulls out the wrapper and it was like, it was the wrong stuff. Yeah. And it looked like the right stuff and it didn't taste right. But I thought, well, maybe if I just had some more of that, it would taste right. And I think sometimes we do that in our relationships, and I think one of the things we could do is kind of pull the jocks on that and just say, I'm just not going to do that anymore. What I'm going to do is say, who am I now? Who am I becoming? And is this going to help me get there? And to say, is I spent my whole life doing all these things, trying to make them work, and I think a change for me is I'm trying to do things that last. And I'll tell you, your families will last. I spent a lot of time in Uganda, 17 years, and I am the consul general for Uganda. Actually, wherever I am is Uganda. Like, literally, this office is now Uganda. Isn't that awesome?
Sweet. I'm in Uganda, folks.
And I have diplomatic immunity. But one of the things that happens is we need to realize that we're just in a place where we get to make some rules that are going to last in our life. And I think I want to do those things in my life that last.
Yeah. Bob, do you think that a lot of times we're spending time studying about Jesus instead of being with him?
Oh, yeah. We just play catch with God. Like, literally, we want to learn all these things, and we go all Greek and Hebrew on it. And I'm like, they say these words, and I go, like, I don't, maybe. I'm still trying to figure out the English version of that. And that's why if Jesus is the smartest guy that ever walked the earth, he grabs a piece of wheat, and he just says it's kind of like this. He points to this like sheep, and he says it's like a sheep that got away. And he talks about a kid, and it's like a kid that got away, and then he came back. And I don't think he was dumbing it down for people. I think what he did is he knew that stories like that would matter in people's lives, and a bunch of information, it actually wouldn't. It would just, it's not that the information is bad, it's that people are looking for purpose. They're not looking for information. We keep giving them information, and they keep leaving. And we're like scratching our head. It's because, so do that with your family. Just start telling them stories and write them down. It doesn't, you don't have to be an author. Just be like, just write them down. Write down what you're learning. I do it. I send myself 60 emails a day. Literally, things I'm thinking about all day long. I send them to myself. It's awesome. I get home. I'm like, him again? Blah.
Spam.
Yeah, exactly. But I just don't want this stuff. If I don't write it down, it's like this dog that runs across the field and I whistle and it never comes back. So if we talk about something and it kind of pings me, I'm going to write that down right away. What I'll do is I'll take everything I've been thinking about the day before. I say, no, it sounds right, but is it actually true? Wow. There's a big difference between things that sound right and things that are actually true. And I actually read scripture to say, yeah, I mean, scripture's silent on surfboards. I got a lot of things I think about that. But what about the things that actually were there some truth? And James and Timothy and like so many other books in the Bible talk about people that don't have sound doctrine. They don't have a right view of things. So I just want to be that guy. Before I ever tweet anything, I figure out that that's actually true. It's like my circuit breaker. And if we could do that before we talk to our kids or our wives, say, I know it sounds right, but is this actually true? Is it not the obvious thing? Is this something that's going to last in their life, for good or for bad? Yeah. A harsh word? You know, is this one where I need to give away $500? What if I just don't and not have my words cost me my family?
You say in the book, don't wait for every door to be open for you. Get ready to kick a few down. And of course, you do that in your life. Love Does is not just the name of your book. It's also an international nonprofit that fights for freedom and human rights, works to improve education, helps people who need a voice, and you're doing a great job with that. You operate in Uganda, in India, Nepal, Iraq, Somalia. How did all this work start? How did you get going on this? Of course, you had the philosophy. We talked about that for the last like 10 or 15 minutes about the philosophy and the conceptual thing inside your heart. But how did the work start?
Yeah, plane ticket. Sometimes we make it really hard. It's between you, you and Delta Airlines. Like, just get over there.
Get
like,
over there and do it.
Yeah, just start. And then, you know, the crazy part, you'll meet somebody. Probably the guy, the taxi guy might be the first one you meet, and then somebody else.
Yeah.
But I'm a lawyer, so I headed for the court. And I just found the guy that had that Uganda was in the middle of a civil war. I found the guy that had the most machine guns out in front of his office. I'm like, that person, I want to meet them. And so I like got past these guys. I'm like, careful, excuse me, safety. And it turns out it was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And I asked the secretary, like, can I meet him? And he's like, do you have an appointment? I'm like, not really. But I just came 20,000 miles. Like, could we meet? And they disappeared for it. And they came out and said, you can. And it started this beautiful, almost 20-year friendship.
Wow.
And he's the second most powerful guy in the country, and it starts because you show up. He didn't know me from Adam.
Yeah.
I mean, God does that. He can use Colin Powell, but he uses unschooled, ordinary people more. I mean, read it. So if we could just be actually present with people and no agenda, the agenda, be with them. And our worldview is like Jesus is on the other side of the equal sign, but I'm not trying to talk somebody into Jesus. I'm just trying to be a friend because I think He leads people to Himself. We're just be with people.
So you've got a new initiative called Engage, and it's a way for people to become more involved in the work that you're doing. Tell us a little bit about this.
We have just about 1,000 kids right now in 7 countries in these schools, and so we just make it possible for people to connect with the kids. We don't need their $30 as much as we need people to connect with kids, but what a better thing to do, just send them to school so we can feed them and clue them and teach them. So we've got these kids that are itching to go. So those that aren't engaged by somebody else, I just pay for.
There you go.
So literally there's 287 kids right now that just don't have some family that they feel connected with. And so they're stuck with me. And I'm like, let's upgrade. Let's give them somebody awesome. So that's what we do. We just try to connect these kids together with families and then just do life together.
That's cool.
I noticed like the organizations are terrific, but just Jesus didn't have one. What he had is just a bunch of people like us. So we're knit together. He called us not only the bride of Christ, but a family of God. And I just want us to be a family. That's why I answer my phone. It's like a family member's calling.
Yeah. How does somebody engage in Engage?
Yeah, they have just a website for lovedoes.org.
Okay.
And then just say, it says Engage. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Bob, it's been a great pleasure to have you in the studio, and we're honored that you're here, and we're inspired by your work. Thank you.
Yeah, this has been really fun, and I'm so glad we're friends now.
Yes. Some folks you know digitally for a long time, and then you finally get to know each other.
We just fixed that here.
Yeah. Very fist bump. Boom. In person. Well, thanks again for being here with us.
Thanks.
Well, I hope that you have enjoyed the conversation today with Bob Goff. Of course, you can connect with his resources and connect with everything that he spoke about right there at stewardship.com. As I think through, you know, what we've talked about today, you know, 1 Corinthians 16:14 comes to mind, and it flat out just says, bluntly, do everything in love. And if you think about our definition of stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory, you can't help but just kind of pair that up with this 1 Corinthians 16:14. Do everything in love. As we go out and we're trying to be good stewards of our marriages and good stewards of our careers, and maybe those of you who are students of your classwork, and maybe it's being a parent, do everything in love. It's a good reminder. Folks, don't forget to head over to stewardship.com, check out Financial Peace University online on your own schedule. And I want to close the broadcast today with Colossians 3:14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. God bless y'all.